And welcome back to the Neutral Zone. As always, I'm Tyler Gallo. It is March 11th, 2019, Monday, here in the Army Central Media Studios. I am alone today. That's right. John Hanna is out of town, so he may filter in later. Probably not, but he will not be here today. So right off the bat, we've got some quick NFL briefings for you. We don't do this too much, but when some big news happens, we will. Antonio Brown, the debacle is finally over for Pittsburgh Steelers fans. He has been traded to Oakland for a third rounder and a fifth rounder in the upcoming draft. Now, I don't know about that return. AB is a generational talent, but I don't know. I guess they got what they could get. Don't know too much on that. He was on my fantasy team 2 years ago and helped me out that year. But yeah, so Antonio Brown headed to Oakland, and he will play for the Raiders now. And then the next one is Jason Witten, a longtime Dallas Cowboy who was retired, has unretired, and rejoined the Cowboys. I guess he wanted to come back to the league. Can't fault him for that. So Jason Witten is back, and he will be playing next year. All right, so we will throw it right in with some baseball news. Probably the biggest ticket item of the offseason. Not sure why, but Bryce Harper signed to a 13-year, $330 million deal by the Philadelphia Phillies. No, this deal includes no opt-out and a no-trade clause. So that is a lot of money being thrown at Harper, and he wanted to. He cited his desire to play in one city for the rest of his life, rest of his career, and he will be in Philly for the rest of his career. So there is once again a no opt-out and no trade clause with this one. So, you know, I'm glad that the whole ordeal is over with Harper. Like I once again, you've heard me say it before in many different places, that I don't think he deserves this much money. Yes, he's a good player, but he has not been good since his 2015 MVP season. You can't say he was good in 2017 because he was hurt half the year, and it was a small sample size. So, a good deal for the Phillies. He will probably excel in that ballpark. It is a bandbox coming from someone who has been to that ballpark multiple times and is in the same division as the team in that ballpark. Yes, so Harper to the Phillies. I'm not too happy about it, but it happens, He's staying in the same division. Not a huge problem. Phillies are pretty good. And it may be a three-team dogfight in the NL East this year. You'll probably see that. A bunch of minor signings. We've got Adam Warren signed to San Diego. A one-year, $2.5 million contract. Good reliever. Had a good season last year for the Yankees, I believe it was. Yes, Adam Warren. I thought he was going to come to the Mets, honestly. I thought he would, but he ends up with the San Diego Padres, who have added some considerable talent this offseason. Warren, in 47 games last year, pitched to a 3.14 ERA, and 3.14 Pi Day is in 3 days. The next signing, Clay Buchholz, signed to a one-year, $3.3 million deal to the Toronto Blue Jays. So Clay Buchholz had a comeback season last year, pitched really, really well with the Arizona Diamondbacks. 16 games all started. He pitched to a 2.01 ERA. He went 7-2. His first real good season since he was an all-star in 2013 with Boston. Remember, he started two games for the Phillies in 2017 and a 12.27 ERA. So nice to see him go back. A lot of one-year deals being thrown out this offseason by teams that don't know what they're or where they're going, so it's been a lot of one-year deals. Staying with the terms, another one-year deal. Adam Jones finally signed, which is good for baseball. Adam Jones was signed by the Arizona Diamondbacks last night. I believe he has pending a physical. He has a one-year, $3 million deal, and it's good to see him with a job. He is a great player, and I'm glad that he finally found a home. He was a staple on the Baltimore Orioles roster for as long as I can remember. I have a jersey of him, so huge fan of Adam Jones. Last year, Adam Jones batted pretty well, despite being on a dismal Orioles team. If you go to his stats last year, Jones hit 281, which is not bad at all. And he hit 15 home runs with 63 RBIs on a very, very bad Orioles team. And he's a guy that will probably play every day. He's batted in 140 plus games, or played 140 plus games the past couple of years. So good add that will probably slot Ketel Marte to a super utility role. We can play infield and outfield for Arizona. And then the last signing, Kansas City, KC, as we heard KC and the Sunshine Band to begin the show, signed catcher Martin Maldonado to a one-year $2.5 million contract. Good pickup. Once again, he was in talks with the Mets, but the Mets ended up getting a really, really good deal with Wilson Ramos. So Martin Maldonado, good catcher to add, especially with the news that Salvador Perez is out for the rest of the season with Tommy John surgery, which you hate to see on a good player like Salvador Perez. Famously, the 2015 World Series MVP, good player. One trade, a minor trade, a guy who was pretty good a few years ago and hasn't played too much recently, that's Cameron Rupp, was traded to Detroit by San Francisco for cash. Rupp has not appeared in the majors since 2017. He had 88 games with the Phillies, hit 14 homers and 34 RBIs, .217. Doesn't have a good bat, but he's got good power. And I'm surprised he didn't have a job last year with teams wanting catchers with power in recent years. Good pickup for Detroit. Detroit's catchers, James McCann, they need somebody to compliment him. They need someone to compliment him. Cameron Rupp, I don't know if we'll make the majors this year, but it's still a good pickup. All right, some other news, and then we'll get it into hockey. We got a lot of hockey trades to pick up on now. Remember, 2 weeks ago, we had the trade deadline, and then we didn't get all the trades in, but we have a bunch to talk about. So, in baseball news, other news, Bud Black was extended by the Rockies. This is very good. He brought the Rockies back to postseason contention, which is something you want to have in your on your franchise. Good idea by the Rockies to extend him, and they're also extending third baseman Nolan Arenado to an 8-year, $260 million extension, and it's an opt-out after 3 years. Nolan Arenado, love him to death. Great player, generational talent, probably the best third baseman in the league, if I'm not mistaken. Man has considerable power and can hit, too. I mean, yes, you can say that, oh, it's Colorado. He's fueled by that, but he still hits homers on the road, too. Like, the man is a beast. Nolan Arenado, very, very good extension by the Rockies. And then the Cardinals extended Miles Michaelis to a four-year, $68 million extension. Michaelis had a really good last year coming back from, I believe it was Japan or Korea. And he pitched to a 2.83 ERA in 32 games started and went 18-4, the best, most wins and best win percentage in the league. Gave up the most hits at 186. And struck out 146, but this is a guy that struggled before he came back. And it looks like we've got a Yost bomb coming in. He just showed up, Mr. Luke Yost. Hello, Luke. How's it going? Let me turn this mic on real quick. What do we got here today, Luke?
I don't know. What are we talking about?
Well, I just talked about the Bryce Harper contract, and I talked about the extension for Arenado.
The Harper contract, I think, isn't worth it. Here's my thing. I don't think anybody in professional baseball is worth $300 million.
Yep.
Or more than that. Manny Machado's contract, I think, is okay.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's worth $300 million. But it's going to be interesting to see who gets paid what next offseason.
Yeah, because you got, like, Mike Trout.
Trout's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
I think Trout right now is one of the most valuable players in baseball. Actually, is the most valuable
player
in
baseball. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what I thought.
War-wise, maybe not, but everything, like, just marketing-wise, I think he's the most valuable player. He's the most likable player in the league.
Yeah.
I personally hate Mike Trout, though, but
Yeah. I mean, he's a likable guy, and he's probably, once again, the only player in the league that's worth what Harper and Machado are getting. I think the Machado contract, agree with you, is better than the Harper one.
Yeah.
Especially because there's an opt-out in it, and you can trade him. But Harper just has nothing. So.
Yeah, I think – I don't like the Harper contract. It's just as a – I mean, I don't like to see these athletes making this much amount of money because, like, yeah, they do dedicate their lives to this sport, but, like
– Exactly.
at the same time, like, there's no job in the world that's worth $330 million for, you have to perform what, like, 5 months out of the year, you have to air quotes work.
Well, see, and the best players in the league fail 7 out of 10 times. The best players in the league.
Bryce
right?
Harper doesn't even fail. See, Bryce Harper hit 245 last
yeah.
year.
I mean, and in the Phillies like, ballpark, it may be different.
23 home runs and
mm-hmm.
he had 30 home runs, but like it's just a ridiculous concept. I think to pay players this amount of money, but Yost bomb of the day, Zion Williams not going to return for the March Madness tournament. He'll be out for the rest of the year. He'll go to the draft. He'll be drafted by the Knicks. Calling it now.
All right. Well, that's the Yost bomb of the day. I will pull up the bomb sound effect real quick just for that.
That's fine.
We got. Oh.
What else you got?
Well, I was just talking about the Miles Michaelis extension by the Cardinals and the Arenado extension for the Rockies.
Arenado, a good pickup. I don't know much about the other guy.
Yeah, he came over from, I think it was Japan or Korea last year and pitched really well. For the Cardinals. And then we got...
You ever watch Korean baseball?
I have not, but I've seen clips.
It is a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Good time.
And now we've got Stephen Wright of Boston, probably the only active knuckleballer in the league, was suspended for 80 games for human growth hormone, tested positive.
Listen, I love... Here's my favorite thing about all of the drug policies across all four major sports, is that, HGH is definitely a PED.
Yeah.
Steroids, PED. But then you throw in, like, medical marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, it's not a performance enhancer, but it's still, like, a drug that you're not supposed to, like, have. Like,
mm-hmm.
I get that some of these guys smoke.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. I don't know what your thoughts are. I'm taking a whole, like, side.
I know what happens. Like, but, like, it's pretty obvious.
Like, are you okay with athletes who, again, dedicate their lives to this sport, live and die by how well they're performing as a person, to, you know, relaxing and, you know, lighting up a little bit. Are you okay with that?
I mean, I don't mind it at all. If it's something that, like, relieves your stress or, like, helps you out, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're prescribed it medically, you should be able to use it.
Well, there was a Dallas Cowboys player, last week,
mm-hmm.
did an Instagram live. He was smoking with a bunch of his friends, and he was like, what he said made sense to me. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something like, this is healthier long term for you than all the other stuff they prescribed to you, because that's all that stuff's like opioids.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That gets you hooked, and you're like hooked on painkillers the rest of your life, and then it just really messes with you. But, like, I don't know. I think, you know, my thing is, like, here's the thing about baseball is that one guy takes HGH, right?
Yeah.
And then he messes with everybody else's game. Because, like, as a pitcher, your job is to get people out.
Yeah.
Your job is to have an ERA lower than, 2.5, mm-hmm. ideally.
Well, and he's going to be in the bullpen, so that is more, like, he would have been in the bullpen this year.
So let's say a guy, like, let's say was, like, D. Gordon.
Yeah.
Was last year.
Yeah, it's D. Gordon, Starling Marte.
Yeah. Those guys are solid hitters without PED.
Of course.
PEDs, right?
Yeah, and that's why, like, I argued for Barry Bonds.
And they mess with people's ERA because, like, you mess with other people's lives because you have a guy who, let's say he just came up, right, mm-hmm. and he has pitched 0 games, right, and you go yard on him the first 2 times you see him. His ERA is going to be, like, a 24.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's going to get sent back down because you use PEDs to hit 2 bombs off him in a game. Like, yeah, it's good for you that you hit 2 home runs, but also you're on PEDs. It's like, you're messing with his livelihood because now he's going to lose a lot of money for going back down to the minors because mm-hmm. he couldn't. Air quotes, make it at the top level.
Yeah, that's why it's, like, really subjective, honestly.
It's terrible.
That's why I argued for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens.
Barry Bonds should be Hall of Famer.
Bonds was an incredible hitter, even before he was linked to PEDs.
Clemens should be Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Pete Rose should be Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. Pete Rose, it's just a travesty that these guys aren't in the Hall. Clemens, very dominant pitcher. Pitched 20 strikeouts in a game twice, which has only been done 4 times in MLB history. So, it's just...
And I bet you all those guys are also in the Hall of Fame, too.
Scherzer's active still, and then Kerry Wood is the only other one. He's not in the Hall of Fame, but he, like, struggled.
Kerry Wood, I'm not going to be the Hall of Fame.
Actually,
the Baseball Hall of Fame has a lot of weird people in it.
Yeah, like Harold Baines got in this year.
Baines, Craig Biggio's in it, and I don't think Biggio's ever that great of a player.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Have you ever been to Cooperstown?
I have not. I've been to the NHL Hall of Fame, though, and that's a fun place.
That's Toronto, right?
Yeah. I will go to Cooperstown at some point. So, and then the next one, the Mets, in a weird move, released TJ Rivera, who was struggling to come back from Tommy John on his arm. He would have been probably a utility role on the team. This guy came up and just all he did was hit. Career 304 batting average in 106 games between 2016 and 17. Hadn't played since 2017, but GM Brody Van Wagenen said, we're kind of flush with utility players on our team. So I guess it makes sense to that standpoint, and he couldn't really get over the hump of Tommy John. But
he'll roll into an AL team. And
yeah, and terrorize the DL. Mets every time they play them.
Yeah.
It's just normal. And then
your Mets.
Yeah. Like, yikes. It's Justin Turner 2.0. That's what I'm thinking.
Justin Turner.
Mets release Justin Turner, and he becomes one of the best players in the league. Yeah. All right, and then a full circle deal here. Carlos Gomez, who came up with the Mets in 2007, is now back on the Mets. He signed a minor league deal.
Carlos Gomez?
Yeah.
There's like four Carlos Gomez.
Yeah, he's the guy that was on the Brewers. Forever. He was good outfielder when he was on the Brewers, and then he struggled in the AL the last few years with Tampa, Houston, and Texas. So maybe he'll come back around, and he was a part of the Johan Santana trade for the Mets.
Really?
Yeah. So more outfield depth for the Mets. I like this. Two retirements, Rob Whalen and Peter Moreland. Moreland, the more important one, had a 12-year career as a reliever, mostly played with the Braves, also played with Los Angeles and Kansas City. So that's after 12 seasons. All right, and then probably the biggest news, the Atlantic League is going to test out some new things in their league. Basically, it becomes to be like the feeder league for the MLB and their rules. There's going to be a robot umpire. It's going to help the real umpire.
Like a sky judge?
It's called TrackMan. I don't know what it's going to do, but it's going to like assist the home plate umpire. So that's
interesting. Okay, so balls and strikes.
Yeah, pretty much. It's going to help call balls and strikes. And then there's no mound visits permitted by players or coaches other than for pitching changes or medical issues, which they're trying to speed up the game. I understand that from a speed standpoint. And then a pitcher must face a minimum of three batters or reach the end of an inning before they exit the game.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Because my thing is like baseball in itself is not a strategy to numbers.
Exactly.
And if you have a guy who is dominating against lefty hitters, you're not going to take him out of the – you're not going to bring him into the game and pitch one lefty and then two righties and then get crapped on the rest of the night. But, like, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, that gives guys like Jerry Blevins no job in the MLB, who is a noted lefty specialist and would pitch one or two guys and then be taken out, which is what he does. And, yeah, and unless they become injured, they'll also be taken out. But I just think that's not a good idea, you know. Pitchers have jobs. And
I agree with the mound visit thing. No mound visits unless it's injury or pitching change, because that does like really take away the part of the game. And they also put like the mound visit counter up now this year.
Yeah.
To last year, and like,
and then they have the pitch track.
You realize that mound visits aren't as valuable as people think they were.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I really didn't pay attention a lot this year. I had a lot of stuff going on. But, like, I realized, like, over the course of my baseball watching or playing or whatever career you want to talk about, you don't really need mound visits, because there's a point where it becomes – there's nothing you can tell a pitcher at that point in the game where it's like, hey, I need you to be mentally focused here. Like, they know what their job is.
Oh, yeah.
And really the only time a mound visit is – useful is when you're talking about strategy, but then that could be something you talk about pre-inning, like before they go out for the catcher and the pitcher together. Here's the deal: the catcher calls the play while you're on the field. But mound visits really aren't a thing of like.
Yeah, and then like they put the counter on, and I don't really think anybody ran out.
Nobody ran out.
Yeah.
And what was the penalty if you ran out? What was the?
I think it was. I don't know.
Just don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And then they increased the size of first, second, and third base from 15 inches square to 18 inches square, which could probably help with, like, close plays. That's really the only thing I think it helps with.
It really helps. It's going to really change how plays down the line are looking. Like, because you think, like, the average MLB, like, infield out is really close to play at first, right? It's within a few, like, inches. And this we could see a rise in infield hits, which is going to be crazy to think about. The guys, again, like D. Gordon or Trey Turner, who are just pure burners that can just bunt for singles for us.
Yeah, speed is a dying art in the game.
Speed kills. And I also – here's my thing. Here's the one thing I want the MLB to do is I want an all-star game competition. Like
the fastest
skater.
The Pro Bowl
started doing the past 2 years. They had, like, the quarterback challenge. Well, I mean, they've done it for a long time, but they've remodeled it and made it better. The NHL's had their skills competition for a long time too. The NBA's had their skills. I want like fastest player in the league. I want to see Trey Turner versus like Billy Hamilton. And,
oh yeah.
Who else? Like
Ahmed Gordon. Rosario, like a bunch of fast guys.
I want to see who's got the strongest arm from an outfielder and like most accurate. Whatever, like I want to see some cool things.
Because
like,
they took away the implications behind the All-Star game, the team that wins gets home field advantage in the World Series, which I thought was a bad idea.
Because it was a really, great idea.
I mean, it was sort of like más o menos, if you know what I mean. Like, it sort of had something to play for, but now it's just throwing guys out there, have fun, which I don't mind at all. And then they've got basically they're outlawing shifts, require two infielders.
That
to
is
be
the worst idea in baseball.
Requires two infielders to be on each side of second base when the pitch is released. If not, the ball is dead and
that
the umpire should call
garbage.
The ball.
Well, here's what you can do with that, right? So if you're really trying to be, like, really wild out there, you can bring in an outfielder, too.
Oh, they've done that.
Which I've seen
times.
Teams do run two outfielders in the outfield, especially a team like Pittsburgh could really benefit from a rule like that because their middle infield this year is going to be their infield this year is going to be shaky at best, Pittsburgh's is.
Oh, exactly.
Their outfield, though, is pretty good with Dickerson, Marte, and Polanco. Polanco's back from injury, but, I mean, you can bring in Dickerson to play that
third
infielder.
Dickerson's also a guy that probably would not benefit from the shift because he's a pull hitter. He's a big-time pull hitter and a power guy. So I think the shift is – you can really – it's – I don't know. Like, I can't really talk
about
it.
They're just trying to ban the Cubs for being good anymore. Because
the Cubs just shift way too much.
You got to respect Joe Maddon for doing that because, like, no other manager in baseball shifts as much as Joe Maddon.
Exactly.
The results show that you should shift, but that's what it is.
So, and then we got the time between innings and pitching change reduced from 205 to 145, which
– minutes-wise?
Yeah. Which,
again, that's just taking time that is really, at the end of the day, – meaningless.
Exactly. The games are still going to be 3 hours to two to three hours long.
Like, you can't. Like, I remember sitting down and talking to a couple friends of mine. Like, how do you make baseball faster? I was like, I don't know how you make baseball faster. Like, if you want to really make baseball faster, you put in like a mercy rule where you go, okay, if you're down by 10 after the sixth inning, the game's over. Like,
I mean, yeah. And then you've
what's the odds you win in the game? One out of like, what? Because
you had that one time where like the, I think it was the, a couple years ago, Seattle, San Diego, it's like 15-4, and Seattle came back and won or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's one out of every 10,000 games played.
So, it's
end the game, man.
Yeah, and then the distance from the pitching rubber to home plate extended 24 inches in the second half of the season only, with no change to mound height or slope. So it's about 62 inches instead of 60 feet 6 inches away, or 62 feet. 6 inches away.
That's really gonna mess with some people. I get, especially some low ball pitchers where they're just gonna be burying in pitches for the first couple of months.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all that the Atlantic League has, and that's all.
I wouldn't. Out of all of those things that they're changing, I would be shocked to see the MLB take the shift thing because I think there'd be a lot of teams protesting against that.
Yeah.
And the mound thing because, again, these people have been. You've been taught to do something for such a long time at such a different angle that you move the plate back 2 inches, it's really going to cut down on velocity.
Oh, yeah, because velocity is at its slowest when it reaches the plate, which I watched, I forget what it was called, but it was some ESPN thing about, like, the fastest pitch ever. And it was talking about how, like, it gets slower as it gets to the plate, but that's why you got to
use its hand, it's like 150 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, like, yeah, so you're gonna see a cut down on velocity and a low. Yeah, John Hanna just walked by the studio.
Yeah, John Hanna is
gave us the finger
in the area.
Kept it moving, man.
I don't know what he is doing, but he should be.
And they're
in
not
here.
Gonna like the mound. The whole thing with the mound is that. So the MLB ideally in the MLB you want to pitch guys low and away because they're not gonna hit it.
Yeah.
Right?
Or like, high fastball on 2-strike count, which is the hardest pitch to hit.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Depends who you are.
Jacob DeGrom did a very, very good job with that this year.
Crazy about Cy Young. But anyway.
Yeah.
the fact that guys are at this point where, like, you're like, okay, how do we change velocity? And, I mean, they raised the mound, 10 years ago? They moved the mound up.
Yeah.
Which let pitchers get more of a drop on the curveball and some other various things. Well, when you're trying to throw a low curveball out of the zone, that's just kind of, like, cut away. with a mound 2 feet farther back, people don't think that's a big deal, but like that pitch is going to die before the plate.
Oh, exactly.
And like you don't know, like as a pitcher, it's going to be frustrating to see them trying to figure out how to like get their pitches right. And you're going to see a change in how the game is played. The game, what the MLB ideally wants to do and baseball in general wants to do is make this game flashy.
Yeah.
And I think with the mound moving back, you're going to force a lot of guys to throw a lot more fastballs. And those fastballs aren't going to be as fast as they're supposed to be.
Well, yeah, fastballs are being thrown more than ever, it seems, by every year. Strikeouts are up. Home runs are up once again. It's just becoming
they're a... juicing balls, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's just becoming a uppercut league, like, honestly. Because... Mm-hmm. With the launch angle revolution, I like guys that try to get on base regardless of what it is. Just slap hitters or guys that will go the other way, not guys that
you're
are trying
like
to
Billy
hit a home
Bean
run.
Over there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't – like, there's some guys that, like, definitely need to have the uppercut swing. Like, J.D. Martinez revitalized his career with that, and there's some guys that could benefit from that. But it's just – it's becoming – like, oh, strikeout,
it's
home
well
run.
It's well overused. It's one of those things where it's either – it's yeah, it's strikeout or home run.
It's so becoming a three true outcomes game. That's really all on that matter. So that's all I've got on baseball today. If you want to head out, you can.
I got some work to do.
So thank you for coming in and joining us today,
it's
Luke.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to run. I'm going to get John Hand in here.
Yeah, tell John to get his butt in here. I need someone else. Right. For hockey. All right, so...
How was your break, Gallo?
It was pretty good. How was yours?
It was all right. I just had 3 days off. I didn't work or wasn't here.
Played some beer league hockey, so...
Attaboy. You can't like, you say beer on the radio, but it's okay.
It's all right. I mean, that's what it's called.
It is beer league. Nice fans.
So looks like we got Nick Hederick coming in here. Nick, what's up?
This is basically Stranded minus all the swearing and all the fun stuff.
Is this by himself right now?
Yeah, because John is in the studio and not coming in. So.
Well, I wanted to be on, but I can't miss lunch with my girlfriend.
That's okay. Like I don't.
Because then I'm in the doghouse. But just know I appreciated the offer greatly.
Yeah, and I
look forward to collaborating with you.
Oh, again. Of course. I look forward to it too. You too, Nick. Tell John to get in here. All right, so that's all we had for baseball. Once again, thank you to Luke Yost and Nick Hederick for an appearance. I thought I was going to be alone the entire time, but Luke obliged. So we've got a bunch of trades filtering in after our show last time. A ton of them. And Winnipeg, pretty much all the trades happened. So first one we've got, it was two separate trades, but it was sort of one for one pretty much. To Carolina was Thomas Yurko, and to Florida was Cliff Poo. Future considerations on both sides, though. So it was like Cliff Poo to Carolina for considerations, to Florida for considerations, Thomas Yurko to Florida for considerations. So, and it looks like we have the man, the myth, the legend finally coming in the studio. Mr. Jonathan Hanna is here. John, that microphone is on if you want to use it. We've got a bunch of trades after the deadline. What's up?
Not much. What trade are we on right now?
The Cliff Poo.
Cliff.
So go over to that mic. John is finally back from break. John, where did you go?
I went to Nashville, and Bridgestone Arena is the best arena.
Yeah, I've never been there, but I can say from looking at it and seeing it on TV, it is a great arena. So, John, thank you for finally joining me. I thought I was going to be alone today, but Luke Yost walked in, and he came in and had a very, very good discussion about baseball.
Oh, I just got your text, by the way.
Yeah, so did you read about the Atlantic League testing some new features?
Yes, I did.
What did you think about
it?
I don't like the shift and stuff.
It's like AAF.
Yeah.
They're testing new things. You never
know. It's basically becoming like a feeder league to the MLB. So that's all we got for that. What are your thoughts on the Bryce Harper deal, though? that's all you need to say on that. That's pretty much all you got to say.
I mean, have fun paying Bryce. I mean, you know, at least it's not at least his deal expires before, you know, a certain Mets player.
Okay, listen. There are so many deferred payments in the league. It's
Yeah, but
unreal.
Bobby Bonilla is just the one.
Atlanta's still paying Bruce Sutter, by the way, who hasn't played since like 1986, I think. Mm. So, I think Cincinnati's still paying Ken Griffey Jr. So, deferred payments are what they are.
Yeah, but it's just fun to make fun of you.
Yeah, I know. I made fun of the Mets earlier for getting rid of T.J. Rivera. So, all right, and then the next trade: Calgary and Los Angeles. Calgary gets Oscar Fantenberg, a defenseman, and Los Angeles gets a conditional 2020 fourth rounder. It will become a third if Calgary reaches the conference final and Fantenberg plays in 50% of the playoff games to that point. That's not going to happen. They probably will make the conference final, but Fantenberg is not going to play that much.
Fantenberg is what? Like, he can't even make the roster on L.A.
Exactly, and L.A. is just I can't talk too much about L.A. All right, and then Columbus. We will hear their name a lot, as well as Winnipeg. Columbus trading, getting Adam McQuaid from the Rangers for Julius Bergman, a 2019 fourth rounder and a 2019 seventh rounder.
Low-risk, high reward.
Yeah, Columbus McQuaid has no picks in the next draft, pretty
none.
Much.
None?
Like, they have two. I think they have a fourth rounder and, like, a sixth rounder, and then they're done. So, and then a smaller one, San Jose gets Jonathan Dahlin from Vancouver, and Vancouver gets Linus Karlsson. Not one of the many Karlssons that's on.
Jonathan Dahlin, you know, or Dahlin, you know what's special about him?
What is that?
He was traded by Ottawa for Louis Erickson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's...
I mean, he's been moving a lot. There's a couple of guys on here that have moved a lot this year. Linus Karlsson, one of the many Karlssons that was on San Jose, Melker and Eric, and then they
probably
lost...
Probably another one of the minors as well, we don't know.
Yeah, so, and then a New Jersey-Boston trade, which is a good return, I feel like. Boston gets Marcus Johansson, and then a 2019 second and a 2020 fourth rounder head back to New Jersey. Ray Shiro has made some head-scratching deals, but he's trying to work with what he has. And getting more picks, the second-round pick could definitely become something down the road. Fourth rounder, once again, can be the same thing. I mean, Jesper Bratt, who is unreal, is a sixth rounder. So, oh yeah, and I just got a text from Jack O'Brien saying he just woke up. So, I asked a lot of people to take over your role today, John.
I can't be replaced.
John really can't be replaced.
Or nobody wants to replace
him. It took
him
going halfway across the East Coast to get here and be on the show. So the next trade, Winnipeg and another player. They got Matt Hendricks from Minnesota for a 2020 third rounder.
I didn't realize Matt Hendricks was worth that much.
I didn't know he was still in the league. And then Derek Brassard. Is this the third time he's been traded this year?
Yes.
To Colorado and a conditional 2026 rounder, but it's no pick if Brassard resigns with Colorado. And then it's 2023 for Florida. All right, John, you can take the next three. Actually, right. Next two, because I want to take the third one.
All right, so we have Chris Weidman to Pittsburgh in exchange for Jean-Sebastien D.
Devils legend Jean-Sebastien D. And I think Penguins fans were really mad when he went to the Devils and scored like four goals. And like, oh, crap, we don't have him anymore. He went back to Pittsburgh and he was terrible.
Chris Weidman, good depth defense.
Was he the guy that hit the ref, or is that Dennis Weidman?
Dennis.
All right.
Pittsburgh. No clue what Jim Rutherford's doing with this trade. To Vancouver, Tanner Pearson, and to Pittsburgh, Eric Goodbranson. Goodbranson is one of, if not the worst defensemen.
Well,
in the league.
If you pair him with Jack Johnson, imagine that.
Yeah, I just
two
don't
worst defensemen in the league.
But your favorite player was traded.
Yeah, one of my favorite names in the league. Winnipeg gets Bogdan Kiselevich from Florida for a 2021 seventh rounder, which pretty much Kiselevich has been not too bad for the. He's not scored a lot, but he's been there.
A future seventh is pretty much meaning you're worthless. The only way that we'll mention it later, but there's only one other way you can be even more worthless than that, and that. You know who gets that award?
Who?
Alex Broadhurst.
Yep. He gets future considerations in return for him. That's a Winnipeg-Columbus trade. Winnipeg and Columbus just had the most trades of the deadline. I don't even think – like Columbus is all in, and they're struggling.
One that we missed, Nashville, Mikael Granlund.
You saw him the other night.
Yeah, and two, Minnesota, Kevin Fiala.
You told me that they still had Kevin Fiala jerseys.
Yes, they did.
In the team store.
You know who else they had jerseys of?
Who?
Or not, they actually had jerseys of him.
Who is that?
Anthony Bedetto?
Bedetto?
Yeah, however you pronounce it.
Is he not on them anymore?
I don't know, but he's not a person.
Dude, they're like the Penguins. They have like jerseys and jerseys of everybody. Mm-hmm. So another Winnipeg trade. Winnipeg gets Par Lindholm, and then Toronto gets Nick Petan. The trade is one for one. Delzaster heads to St. Louis
for a sixth rounder
in 2019. A lot of sixth and seventh rounders being moved. Johnny,
guess who makes another trade? Guess.
Winnipeg.
Correct.
There we go.
They get Nathan Beaulieu for a 2019 sixth. Beaulieu on Buffalo. He didn't play.
Really?
For some reason, Phil Housley decided, you know what?
Were they good when he was in the lineup?
Yeah, he was a solid defenseman.
And did the Sabres win when he was in the lineup?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
that's like
you know what they decided?
What?
We're going to play Marco Scandella, who is the equivalent of a pylon.
Yeah. I mean, that's a similar thing to John Quenneville earlier in the season, but he just can't get any points for the Devils.
He's related to Joel, right?
I think they're cousins, mm-hmm. I want to say. So they're definitely not father-son.
Last trade, somebody else I saw.
Yeah. The Wayne train heads to Nashville.
And they already have Wayne train shirts.
That's insane.
In the Wayne Simmons for Ryan Hartman.
I think Ryan Hartman's a good pickup for Philly. Yeah, as much as I hate talking about Philly, that is a very, very good pickup.
It is.
Conditional 2020 fourth rounder. The conditions were not given for that contract.
And then other news, draft. Anaheim signs Jakob Silfverberg to a five-year deal.
We will talk about him a little. I didn't see the parameters, but he would have been a UFA this offseason. So, all right, and then we got some scores. Only five games last night. Florida faced Detroit, and it was a bloodbath for Florida. It was 6-1 the final. Florida won. Goals by six different players. Josh Brown, Jamie McGinn, Frankie Vetrano, Jonathan Huberdeau, Dryden Hunt, and Alexander Barkov. Barkov continues to put up points.
Two of those players I've never heard of.
Dryden Hunt and
Josh Brown.
Josh Brown. I think Hunt was his first NHL goal. Mm. And Thomas Vanek, Buffalo legend for Detroit. So Detroit continues to go nowhere fast. And then we've got Washington and Winnipeg. Johnny, you can take this one.
All right, Washington beat Winnipeg 3-1. So despite all of Winnipeg's trade, they're not doing anything. Washington with goals from Nick Backstrom, Carl Hagelin, and Lars Eller. While Winnipeg's lone goal was from Matthew Perreault.
Washington, Backstrom continues to be the most criminally underrated player in the league, I think, in my opinion. Pittsburgh and Boston last night. The new additions for Pittsburgh scored 4-2 the final. Jared McCann with two goals. Nick Bjugstad scored. And then a goal by Jake Guentzel. Boston, David Krejci and John Moore, former Devil. The Yost bomb today was that Zion Williamson will not be in the tournament this year, March Madness.
Due to injury?
Well, yeah. Did you hear what happened to him? He hurt his knee because his shoe exploded or something. So I could see that happening, honestly. I mean, but I feel like they're just holding him out. The next game, Calgary and Vegas Golden Knights, 6-3. Just a domination by the Calgary on Vegas, honestly. Vegas continues to fall from last season, which we knew was going to happen. Hat trick for Matthew Tkachuk. Tkachuk continues to be really, really good for the Calgary Flames. Michael Backlund scored twice.
And Andrew Mangiapane.
I think it's Mangiapane. I don't know how to say that. That's like Saku Minalainen.
I sent you some. What did he do? Oh, he was a plus in an 8-1 loss.
Yeah, and then there was Nino Niederreiter, who was -6.
And then who was it that was like a minus and a 6-1 win for or someone?
Who knows?
But last game.
Don't forget Vegas, Peary, Riley Smith, and Mark Stone. Mark Stone was also a trade, 8-year extension with Vancouver or Vegas. Not a huge fan of the extension.
Yeah. And then a terrible game. I don't know who would want to watch this.
Oh, yeah. I had to watch the last 2 minutes of it, and I hated it.
LA beat Anaheim 3-2. Both these teams are terrible.
Carl Grundstrom, though, has two goals in his first two NHL games, though.
Point per game player. Last.
Yeah, there you go.
LA with goals from Dustin Brown, Kyle Clifford, and Carl Grundstrom. And Anaheim goals from Daniel Sprong and Jakob Silfverberg.
Who just got that fat contract from Anaheim.
Yes.
Sprong is probably the bane of Pittsburgh fans' existence right now. Because he's...
I mean, Pettersson's done well, I think.
But I think Sprong is doing a little bit better. So we got a couple of games tonight. I'll take the first half. Johnny, take the second half.
All right.
Tampa Bay will face Toronto tonight in Toronto, 7 o'clock. Columbus at the Islanders, 7 o'clock. Ottawa at Philly, 7 o'clock. That is a snooze fest. All right, and then the next four, Johnny.
No, you can get the first half of this middle game.
San Jose
is playing at Minnesota at 8. Arizona at Chicago, 8:30. Carolina at Colorado at 9, and New York at Edmonton at 9.
Which is another bad game. Yes. Rangers and Edmonton. All right.
I'm going to change this card of the day.
You are?
Yes, because when I was in Nashville, I got a card.
You did?
Yes. Free card. This is it was Scott Hartnell night.
Oh.
And it's a Scott Hartnell card. He's wearing the mustard third.
Oh, the mustard cat. Oh, that's a great jersey. Yes. That's a nice card. I wonder if that's on. I don't think that's on the database.
No, because it was So it has a little blurb about him. Scott Hartnell's NHL debut after being selected 6th overall by the Predators was in Japan in October of 2000.
That's cool.
And made him the youngest player, 18 years, 171 days, to suit up for the club. He then became the only player to be a part of the Predators' first Stanley Cup playoff team in 2004, and their first President's Trophy winning team in 2018. Scott appeared in 498 regular season games with the Predators, amassing 235 points and 106 goals, tied for 8th on the franchise's all-time list.
All right, so Scott Hartnell had a good career.
Yeah.
Mostly with Philadelphia.
Yeah, but I mean, I know you hate Pittsburgh, or Philly and Pittsburgh, but are you a fan of Scott Hartnell or not?
I didn't mind Scott Hartnell. I just think he is just there. Like, I feel like they loved him way too much in Philly, though, which I didn't see why, because he was solid, just not great. All right, and then the real card of the day, so before we leave, 2016 Bowman Chrome Prospects, number BCP 115, Michael Kopech. Michael Kopech is a bright future.
Yes, he did. Well, not this year.
Not this year. But drafted 33rd overall in 2014 by Boston, was a part of the 2017 Chris Sales trade that also included, I believe it was, Yoan Moncada, who continues to strike out at an astronomical pace in the MLB. He made his debut last year with the White Sox, and in four games pitched to a 5.02 ERA and 14.1 innings pitched. All four were starts, but he didn't last too long in the starts. I think they wanted to ease him in a little bit. And he struck out 15 and only walked 2.
That's pretty, I mean,
it's not bad at all. And he looks like Noah Syndergaard, and he said he models his game after him. Well, he also throws 100 miles an hour. This is a guy that will probably be a star in the league in the future, just not this season, as he will miss 2019 due to Tommy John surgery.
Which is, I mean,
it's sad. Like, yeah. It happens for pretty much every pitcher. Some players come back from it. Some players don't.
Hopefully he comes back, because White Sox, they don't really have anything to look forward to.
Yeah, they have an amazing system. And they'll probably be good in, like, 2 to 3 years. But
you never know with systems, because...
Exactly.
Edmonton had a great system. And
yeah, and then...
Well, then Peter Chiarelli traded 99% of it away, but, you know.
Well, you know what the deal is with Chiarelli. He's delusional. All right, so, well, that's pretty much all we have for today. Be sure to listen to this when it's up. John, thank you for coming in when you
You're
were...
You're welcome.
How long was the drive from Nashville?
From Nashville to here?
Yeah.
It was about... 7 hours.
So that's like pretty much driving from home to here.
Yeah,
for
we
you.
Stopped in Cincy.
Oh yeah, or yeah, no, you saw
we
that.
We stopped in Cincy at a sign museum, and we spent the night in Columbus, where we saw Jack O'Brien's favorite college.
Oh,
the Ohio State University.
All right, well, that's all we have today. Once again, I am Tyler Gallo.
I'm John Hanna.
And stay tuned for next week. We might have some more stuff. NHL playoffs coming up quickly. Oh, yeah, Tampa Bay clinched, by the way, but that was a formality.
And Ottawa is eliminated.
Ottawa is officially eliminated. Devils will be soon behind them.
Oh, another thing, that Boston,
yeah,
that snaps their like 29-game point streak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm John Hanna.
And I'm Tyler Gallo. We will see you next week. I will play you out some more KC and the Sunshine Band. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week.